1 Kings chapter number 3, let's stand together. We're just going to read one verse and then be seated. 1 Kings chapter number 3, and we were in 1 Kings 3 this morning. We'll look at it just a little bit, that part again tonight, but just want you to notice verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. And I want to preach tonight on this subject, and I think it's pretty simple, but I just kind of want you to remember this statement. The seeds we sow will surely grow. The seeds we sow will surely grow. And I think at the end, We forget messages. I forget what I preached 2 days ago, you know, type of thing. But sometimes there's a phrase that'll kind of stick with us. And there's a reason for that title tonight, because I want the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts about that even during the week when we're not at church. The seeds we sow will surely grow. Let's pray together. Lord, you bless tonight's meeting and message. And I pray, God, that not only will you help us tonight, but Lord, tomorrow, whatever we're doing, I pray the thought comes up, the seed we sow will surely grow. And then the next day and the next and the next. And I pray it'll help us to live faithfully for you. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in our hearts tonight. Thank you for the bus workers and again, the work that they do week in and week out. Bless their lives greatly because of it, even in this life. Bless the message now. We'll thank you for it again in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I told you a few weeks ago, oh, it's probably been a couple of months ago now, about my pumpkin patch at our house. And I have a mound of dirt. I had it delivered over a year ago, and it got to the fall, and I got busy, and I wasn't able to get a tractor and get it all moved around. And then the grass starts getting green again. Then I don't want to mess the grass up. So I thought, well, in the dead of winter, I'm going to get out here with a tractor, move all this dirt around. And I didn't do it. I just never did get to, we started building that dumb dog house. And so I thought, well, when I'm done with this, I'll move some dirt around. And then the spring came, and we had such a pretty spring. We had so much rain through June. It stayed green for so long. And then I thought, well, I don't want to mess my yard up now with a tractor, so I'll get it next winter. And so, as I was mowing this spring, I noticed on that dirt mound, I noticed that a plant was growing. It wasn't an illegal plant, I knew it was something that just, it wasn't normal. And so I asked Miss Ogden about it, and we talked about it. She looked at it and told me, but within a few weeks, I had several pumpkins growing in my yard. And so then I thought, well, I'm not going to touch this now. I'm going to get rich. I'm going to see how many pumpkins I can grow in the yard there. And so all I did was last fall throw some rotting pumpkins on a dirt mound. Probably shot them with a shotgun, like good rednecks do. I threw them out there last fall, and to my surprise, this summer I had pumpkins growing. The seeds we sow will surely grow. I brought one with me, the little one. Now we have some big orange pumpkins, and they're like the decorative kind. I don't know, but they're, yeah. And so we have these pumpkins right now. They're in Joshua's restroom. He will not be using that for a few months. And so they're kind of up on his counter right now out of the way. But I brought this one because it was easy to grab and there it is. Preacher grew a pumpkin. I did absolutely nothing except mow around it. But all it was just some old seeds that I thought, I'm going to get rid of these pumpkins. You know, they cave in on each other as they're starting to just kind of rot, and the flies are on. You're like, man, you normally wait so long, you get the shovel and scoop it up. And that's what I did. Plop all over the hill. And there you have it. All right. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, if you would. Galatians chapter number 6. This is not a message on gardening. Okay. But Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to talk to you for just a minute here about the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow, right? If you don't understand the law of sowing and reaping, you're not a dad with a son. Amen? I enjoy watching Brother Greg and Brother Caleb. Of course, my main reason is because Brother Greg has laughed at me all these years And Brother Greg and I grew up together. He has laughed at me for many years now about watching Joshua and knowing that he's growing up to be just like his daddy. And so now I get to watch old Caleb over here, and I'm having a pretty good time watching that. But look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. It amazes people that want to laugh about sin and want to put it online. And I mean, people that claim to be born again and think somehow they're going to get away with it. And whatsoever man soweth, the Bible says, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Okay? Good planting. We'll look at that down the road. But let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the law of sowing and reaping, just a few of the items here about sowing and reaping. Number one, you do reap what you sow, okay? I didn't throw rotten pumpkins out there and then look up and have tomato plants. It doesn't work that way. You reap what you sow. Secondly, you reap after you sow, right? I didn't step out there and mow one day and say, I got some pumpkins. I ought to plant some pumpkins there. It doesn't work that way. You reap after you sow. You do the work, you reap the benefits. Okay? Often, you reap more than you sow. And those of you that have gardens, you understand that. And then also, the law of sowing and reaping, you reap in proportion to what you sow. The Bible puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And by the way, 2 Corinthians 9 is talking about stewardship, and it's talking about giving and being a help and a blessing to others. And the sooner you learn in life to be a giver, the more blessed your life is going to be. My parents are not here tonight, and I don't think they watch the services after they get home. But I was telling my wife the other day, and she knows this. She's been a part of our family for 25 plus years. But I was telling her the other day before we left for Tennessee, I said, you know what? My parents are some of the biggest givers I know, and not in the sense of they can't afford to give the biggest amount. But she called me the other day and she said, we're going to stop by the office there. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous sometimes when my parents want to stop by the office. But they stopped by, and she said, well, we wanted to leave Josh a little more money. We gave him some money at the college deal, but we wanted to leave him a little more money. And she said, and then we want to give you, and gave me $100. Gave me $100. She said, we know that you boys, it's expensive for you also to take these kids, you know, off to college. Now, we have some pretty good givers in our church, but there aren't a lot of people like that in life who actually look around, how can I be a help? How can I be a blessing? By the way, I thought about this. He got a meeting today, this weekend, to preach this weekend, and then got invited this weekend because the preacher had contacted me first about it, but got a meeting to preach here in a couple of weeks, and probably love offering. We don't get huge love offerings, but it'll be more than $100. You cannot outgive God. You got to learn. So the stingy crowd in here, hey, learn to be a giver. And I promise you, again, I said it the other day, but we don't give to get. We give to get to give. And many of you in here, you've got that down. Okay, so he would sow sparingly. You know, you make $60,000-$70,000 a year, and you give $1.35 a month to missions. You're sowing sparingly, and you're going to reap also sparingly. Okay, so. Let's go back to 1 Kings, okay? So the law of sowing and reaping, it's not a missions message tonight, not even a giving message tonight, but it is, we do reap what we sow. In 1 Kings, I don't want you to miss this. We started preaching through 1 Kings a couple weeks ago, and the way I do it, I read, and I'll read tonight when I go home and ask the Lord, you know, what's the message, what's the next message, and look for something to jump off the page at me. So, for those of you that were in the children's churches this morning, we preached on basically the need for wisdom and how all the other things we think we need, if we just get wisdom, then the rest of that will take care of itself. But that is a lot of chapter 13. In fact, we read between verses 5 and on down to 14, 15, somewhere in there. But when we read chapters 2 and chapters 3, we see some good things happening to Solomon. One of the things we see is that Solomon becomes king in chapter 2 and verse number 12. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Okay, good things happening. Another thing that happened with Solomon is his dad told him, say, you know what, son, there are some troublemakers here in the kingdom and you need to deal with them or they're going to be troublemakers for you also. And so he did. He dealt with some of them. Just a sample of that is chapter 2 and verse number 24. Now, therefore, as the Lord liveth, this is Solomon speaking, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David, my father, and who hath made me a house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. We saw some of that a couple of weeks ago. So, all right, things are going well. Solomon just becomes king. He gets rid of some troublemakers in his kingdom. God gives Solomon great wisdom, right? Chapter 3 there, verse number 12. God said, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 32 that Solomon spake 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. And so certainly we saw the story in chapter 3 there this morning about the two ladies that one claimed it was her baby, the other claimed it was her baby, and Solomon used great wisdom with that decision-making process. And then we saw how that he did not ask for riches and honor, but he got them anyways. God gave them to him in chapter 3 and verse number 13. He said, God said, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there should not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now, I know some go back and watch the morning video, but some of you don't. If you weren't in here, I would just stress this, that sometimes we think we want a certain thing, and it might be that God's not giving us that because he knows we don't have the wisdom to handle it properly if he did give it to us. So I hope you'll go back and watch that, because I believe God wants us to excel. I believe he wants us to succeed, and not everyone's in ministry, and you're out there and you're being faithful to God. I believe God wants you to excel at your job and so forth. But well, we need to have wisdom, because I know people that have had quite a bit of money and just blown through it because they had no wisdom about how to handle that money. So maybe watch that if you get a chance this week. Okay, so I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. And we're headed somewhere with this. Again, the thought is simple, but it takes a little building. And this is where we're going to kind of start laying it out for you. All right, this morning we talked about living the dream. So a quick reading. If you just read quickly through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 there in 1 Kings, a quick reading of that passage would tell us that Solomon is well on his way to living his dream. You just got the kingdom. You just got wisdom. You took care of some troublemakers. You have great riches. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 4:26 that Solomon, think about this, Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. It's amazing. People would come to hear the wisdom of Solomon and to see what all God had done in his life. Okay, so you read quickly through 1, 2, and 3, and you'd say, man, Solomon is living the dream. But yet when we come to Ecclesiastes, which was written towards the end of Solomon's life, he was miserable. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1. Look at his attitude here. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Vanity means this. It means emptiness. It means unsatisfied. It means wasted life. Basically, what he's asking here is, what is the point in anything I've ever done in life? He says it in verse 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun. Skip to chapter number 2 there if you're in Ecclesiastes. And verse 1, all right, he's going to tell us now kind of how he spent his days and his money and his wisdom. He said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Does this not sound like the Hollywood stars or the athletes? And boy, they're vacationing on such and such island somewhere on some yacht. And yet many of them had been divorced 15 times. They're seeing therapists. Some of them, unfortunately, will end their life in suicide. Many athletes will wind up, you know, on drugs. But they had everything that po-folk like you and I are going, man, boy, that'd be something. Verse 5, he said, I planted me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold. I think he wrote one of the Psalms about it. Silver and gold. No. He said the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great. And increase more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. Wow. He looked up one day. He said, I had the house I've always wanted. I had the, just follow me here, but he said, I had the vehicle I've always wanted. Maybe the family I've always wanted. Man, I've got the bank account, the savings account that I've always wanted. And I've got the investments that I've always wanted. And he said, man, I'm going to tell you what. I withheld not my heart from any joy. You know what that meant? That meant as a man, he would walk into Home Depot and walk out with everything in the world he ever wanted. He said, man, if I wanted it, I got it. He said, but one day I looked up and said, man, this is a bunch of nothing. What's the point in all of this? And then he makes that famous statement in verse number 17. Therefore, I hated life. I hated life. So what in the world happened to the wisest king to ever live? I'll make this statement. Then we're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 3. Here it is. We talked about wisdom this morning. Just because we have wisdom doesn't mean we always use it. So in the middle of your king and you're dealing with your enemies and I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you riches and you're going to have so many things and I'm going to lift you up to great honor and you have all this going on and you quickly read through the first 3 chapters and you're pulling that out. David died and he becomes king and God gives him great wisdom and man, look at that story with those 2 ladies and that baby and man, what wisdom. And oftentimes we skip right past verse number 1. And verse number 1 says he married a daughter of Pharaoh. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 1, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. All right, so all the great things going on in chapter 2, the great things going on in chapter 3, even in this verse, how that God allowed him to build a house and allowed him to build the house of the Lord. The great things that God used Solomon to do. But just right there in verse number 1, in the first part of that verse, he planted a seed. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter. Well, that was dumb, Pharaoh. For such a wise man, that was dumb. Now remember, we're trying to figure out how a man who had everything that you and I can only maybe dream of in our flesh, at the end says it was all a bunch of waste. See, so here he is. That was a dumb choice there, Solomon. That was a bad move right there. All right, so tonight we say, oh, preacher, no one's perfect. And you're right. But we better be really careful because of the law of sowing and reaping. And because the seed we sow will surely grow. Oh, it's just a little bit of... I'm coming to church and I'm being faithful, and, you know, all in all. But yeah, I got this thing going on in my life, but nobody knows about it. And I've got it under control. All right. So right in the middle of all this greatness, he makes a bad choice on who to marry. But look, that little sin. This reminds me of that story Bob Smith used to tell at youth camp about his dog. You remember the story about he bought a little poodle and he traveled in evangelism back then and bought a little dog. He said, I was gone all the time. And he says, one day, I get home, the dog meets me at the door. And the dog had just grown up. And he uses that to illustrate how I've got this sin under control. Nobody knows about it, but I've got it dealt with. And me and God, we talk about it. And it's going to be okay because I still go to church and I sing and I teach and I preach and I do those things. And I come and I sit here and my parents had me in church. And it's going to be okay, preacher. I'm just trying to say to all of us tonight, the seed we sow will surely grow. All right, man, what is that? What is that little plant? What's going on in my mound there? Next thing you know, here's this little pumpkin, and then mow the yard a week later, and here's this pumpkin, and a week later, here's this pumpkin, and I've got a couple pumpkins that are like that big. They're the flat, decorative kind. They're that big. I learned the hard way. You don't grab them by the stem. They have little razor things all over them, and it hurt. I nearly cried, but till they dry out, it was bad. But it's just one little verse, preacher, yes, but I want you to look at 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, and I know we'll come through this area down the road, and maybe the Lord will give me a different kind of message there in that area. But 1 Kings chapter number 11. Okay. All right. 1 Kings 11, verse number 1. But, and by the way, the chapter right before that talks about all the things he had, his fortune, his fame, his power. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Now notice this phrase. Together, look up here, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. There's another pumpkin. Wait a minute, there's another pumpkin. Wait a minute, where'd all this come from? Just one pumpkin? Just one seed? Oh, man, you know, everybody's got some kind of sin in their life, and it'd be all right. Well, now the Bible says that he loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Right? So that just got it started. And now it says women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. By the way, when God says no, he's trying to protect us from hurting ourselves. Amen. The Christian mind's so boring. Okay, as Lester Roloff used to say, you've got to get drunk and get high to have a good time and have a hangover the next day. That's not the life. The life is living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He wasn't trying to ruin Solomon's life. I mean, kind of dumb to marry more than one woman. I know you expect me to say it, so I'll say it. His problem wasn't that he loved so many. It was so many strange women. They're all strange. But God has one woman for you to love. For surely, God said, I'm trying to protect you. They will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. It's not the message tonight. Maybe we'll preach it later. But all of you young adults that are not married in here, all you high schoolers that one of these days are going to get those batty eyes for somebody, you're going to be like that cartoon when they used to have good cartoons, you know, and they're Yoga. And his tongue rolls out, goes back in, his eyes spin. And one of these days you're going to get that. But I'm telling you what, it's well worth the wait to wait on the will of God. You don't want to marry somebody that's going to turn your heart away after their gods. And now they don't think it's important to have your kids in Sunday school. And they don't see why you got to go to that crazy church down there where they're dressing like that and acting like that. God was just trying to protect Solomon. Crazy, man. We're talking about a wise man, and yet verse 3 says he had 700 wives. That's 699 and a half more than I can handle. Princesses and 300 concubines, his wife turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. I love seeing these phrases about David. It just reminds us about the mercy and grace of God, because we know what David did. But it reminds us we can get completely wrong. Right with God as a Christian. All right, so it just goes on. Verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon, and he had broken his commandment. Verse 11, we blame Rehoboam, Solomon's son, for splitting the kingdom. But to be honest with you, it was not Rehoboam. It was Solomon that did it. Verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend thy kingdom from thee, will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. Those of you in the class I taught this morning, don't you remember when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him? And so the Bible says that the Lord stirred up an adversary against Solomon. Okay, so yeah, we're going to get to Rehoboam at some point. And yes, we're going to blame him. And we're going to say he should have listened to the older men and not the men his age. And we talked a little bit about that this morning without mentioning Rehoboam. But listen, God's honest truth that Solomon is the one to blame. Say, what's the point, preacher? I'll be honest with you. I'm not a perfect man. I know people expect preachers to be perfect. And everybody else, oh, no. You just wait till a preacher messes up, man. People just will trounce all over that. And you just, these days, you better be very careful about everything you do, every move you make. But I tell you what, if there's anything that scares me, it is thinking my kids would have to pay the price for a dumb move that I make. I know you're perfect, but you know sometimes what God does to me? It scares me. I'm a man, and I'll pay the price for what I do. You know, we're men, we're women, we'll pay the price, you know, chastening, whatever. But it scares me. If I have a bad thought, or if I just, you know, just anything in general, here's what crossed my mind sometimes. Something like this, and this is new, so I'll give it to you, but something like this. Whoa. You got a boy a long ways from home. You don't want something to happen to him, do you? You say, oh, preacher, we shouldn't live like that. Why not? Solomon, you've enjoyed all the riches, all the honor, all the fame. You couldn't handle it. You planted a seed that you thought was going to be okay. Next thing you know, now all of these seeds are growing. You're in a mess in your old age. You're hating life. And Rehoboam's going to get the blame from all the preachers for centuries to come. But it was Solomon that planted that seed. And friend, listen, on the days where we're just really in the flesh, and we're really in the flesh, and we think, and whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's whatever, if we can't just honor God because He's God, if we can't just fear God with that reverence and that honor, then buddy, listen to me, we ought to fear the judging hand of God. And if it's not enough to know what God could do to me, it's enough to me to know what God might have to do to get my attention. Life's going to happen. But I don't want it to happen to my spouse. I don't want it to happen to my parents. I don't want it to happen to my kids. One of these days, my grandkids. You want that to happen because Pawpaw ain't getting right with God? That ought to wake us up just a little bit. Because again, me, man, I'll pay the price for my, I'll take my licking and keep on ticking. But what I don't want is my boy paying the price because of dad's sin. I don't want my daughter paying the price because of dad's sin. I don't want, and I'm just saying to you tonight, the seeds we sow will surely grow. Oh, at first it was just one Egyptian woman. It was just one bad seed that was planted. But the seed you sow will surely grow. Guess what? They were still talking about this even in the days of Nehemiah. Listen to what the Bible says in Nehemiah 13. And Nehemiah has come back to Jerusalem and he is very upset. He, one of the enemies, if it was our day and time, it'd be like one of the enemies of this church. It'd be like, you know, just by example off the top of my mind, but it would be like someone that has caused this great grief in the last 23 years. And let's say I move away and I come back 6 months later and Brother Trent's letting that little devil live upstairs because, you know, he has compassionate hearts. And Brother Trent's like, you know, I know they're trouble, but I just, they needed a place to live. And I go out in that gym that we all sacrifice for, and there's old devil woman, or there's old man that caused trouble. And he's letting them live in there. You know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah went in the house of God, took Tobiah's stuff, and threw it out the window. Threw it in the yard. How many of y'all think I would do that if I come back 6 months? Yeah. So he's already upset. Now, this is one of my favorite passages, and you'll understand why. The Bible says in Nehemiah 13, but I want you to see, years later, they're still talking about what Solomon did. Nehemiah 13, just listen to verse 23. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. So Nehemiah's seeing the same thing happen. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. I love this. I know it's flesh, but he said, and I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them. And I love this part. And plucked off their hair. He went full mo on us is what he did. You know, I'll murder you. What I like about that is Ezra's more like Brother Trent. Ezra was frustrated, and Ezra said, I plucked off my own hair. He did. Go read Ezra. Ezra says, I was just frustrated with him. I was just like, Nehemiah's like, no, that's staying right there. Nehemiah says, pam, 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 you idiots. Man, I like it. He went full Three Stooges. Somebody ought to get upset about sin and what it does to families. He knew where it had put them, and now they're back, and God's given them some grace. And then, just like after COVID, we've gone right back to the backsliding and the missing church and taking our church for granted and living in sin and unfaithfulness. It's just like COVID. And he says to them, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. All right, so they're talking about it years later. So, what's the point, preacher? Okay, really it's 2 points tonight. What's the point? Okay, I have a negative, and then I have a positive. Let me read to you again what the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Number one is this. If we sow seeds of sin in our life, we will reap negative results eventually. If we sow seeds of sin in our life, if we don't confess it, get it right with God, repent of it, We will reap negative results eventually. And I'm a firm believer, by observation, in the fact that we better be very careful, because sometimes, like when Abraham went down to Egypt, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, when Lot started choosing, he chose what he liked about Egypt. It reminded him of Egypt. So even though, yes, I can hit the altar on Sunday and get right about it, I cannot afford to give my family a taste of the world. A taste of the world. And you think, man, I got right about that a long time ago. But you may have sown a seed in that kid's heart, a negative seed. We cannot dabble in sin and expect that everything is going to turn out okay. As the Bible says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. And that's what happened with Solomon. Even over in the book of Job, his friends were, of course, judging him. But what one friend said, a statement he made, was true. He said in Job 4:8, Eliphaz said, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. We must keep sin out of our life. We must confess sin and forsake that sin when we do fail. And we're going to fail. There's no perfection. We're going to fail at times. But you don't plant corn and get tomatoes. You don't plant carnal and get spiritual. We've got to have mom and dad on the same page spiritually. One of the worst things that happens in churches all the time is when one parent is planting spiritual and one parent is planting carnal. It's bad for the kids. If we sow seeds of sin in our life, we'll reap negative results eventually. Why? Because the seeds you sow will surely grow. Number two is this. Told you it's simple, but let you go home and think on it a little bit. But here's the positive. If we will continue to sow spiritual seeds, we will reap a spiritual life and the blessings of God. If we continue to sow spiritual seeds, we will reap a spiritual life and the blessings of God. The promises in the Bible in Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Goes on to say, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the positive challenge tonight is this. Never give up on doing right. It would have been probably late November, early December, when I would have thrown that old rotting pumpkin out there on that field. Now, guess what? On Christmas Day, I didn't go out there and find pumpkins. In January, I didn't find pumpkins. In February, I didn't find pumpkins. In March, I didn't find pumpkins. Probably in April. In April, I started seeing something like, man, that's more than just a weed. But by I think it was by May. Certainly, it was into May, because I remember when we left for camp, we were wondering if they would be alive and not dry and dead when we got home. What I'm saying is this. People say, well, you know, we've been tithing for 2 weeks, and we just ain't seen a difference. God rewards faithfulness, and we do not put God to a test. He's proven himself. Well, I just don't know if this homeschooling is working. I'm so tired of it. And I get it. I watched my wife do that with the kids. But man, when they're educated, and you get to drop them off somewhere, and they can actually walk in the room and stay alone, and they're not. You know, people think our kids are a bunch of weirdos that don't have any social life. When they can walk in a room of strangers and start making friends and sit in those classes in college and do well and do okay. And many of our young adults have done that in here. And you went through homeschooling. I guess mom and dad or aunt or grandma or whoever it may be, I guess they did okay. Yeah, you struggled in subjects. But I'm just saying to all of you that have those little kids right now. I was talking to one of the families this morning about they have an opportunity to make a little more money, but they realize that with the little kids right now, that's just so important in their life for mom to be there. Don't look around and think, and some of you are doing it differently, and that's between you and the Lord. That's not, you know, not to feel bad about. That's between you and the Lord. But it wasn't as hard to drop Josh off as it was Sarah. And he and I just did a quick hug, of course. But I'll tell you one thing. When I look in the mirror, I think, man, as a dad, I don't have regrets. The ministry's busy. The ministry tugs at you. And many a night, my kids would walk out of this church and dad be stuck in the office there for a while. But I truly look at both of my kids and say, man, I don't have any regrets. We did the trips. We did the vacations. We went fishing. We did the camping. And one of these days, those little boys in here and those little girls that are 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 years old, you're going to have happy tears. And maybe you're different than me. We're a close family. We've always been a really close family. And I thank God for that. And I'm going to laugh at you, some of you guys, in a few years. You're going to do the same thing as that little boy that you always took care of. He's already told us, I probably won't be back. Y'all know that, right? I probably won't ever move back in. I said, can I get that in writing before you leave? And maybe it's just an area where I'm a little more emotional than others. But now, man, you walk in his room. And there's one thing about Josh. He's a knucklehead. But he's got a personality. And he brings a lot of energy, too much, to most rooms. But he is a personality. However you feel about him, he's a personality to me that's missed. He can be too much, and he's maybe watching this tonight, or he may watch it. He can wear me out, no doubt about it. But man, when you walk in his room, and you see his deer head, and you know you took him to go kill that deer, and then you look on the deer head's nose, and there is a mask from COVID right now today. And it says Trump. So it's good tears. For those of you with little bitty kids, I know it's tough right now. But the seeds you sow will surely grow. Well, we want this and we need that. It's like we can't. I'm telling you, it's worth it to invest in your kids. It's worth it to keep bringing your family to church. It's worth it to invest in your marriage. It's worth it to invest in your ministry. It's worth it to invest in your career. If we will continue to sow spiritual seeds, we will reap a spiritual life and the blessings of God. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right, do right, do right. If the stars fall from the sky, do right. I just say to all of you tonight, never give up on doing right. Don't get weary in well-doing. It's just so tiring because we can't do what the cousins over there are doing. And we try to have some standards, some boundaries for our home. Hey, you're doing right. Don't get weary in doing right. Well, it'd be so easy to put them in public school and the school curriculum's already paid for. Boy, we're paying for homeschool curriculum and some are paying for private school. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season thou shalt reap if you faint not. I don't blame my parents for anything in my childhood. Every negative in my childhood, you know who I blame? This guy right here. But I can tell you what, if I was homeschooled and not sitting in that public school down there, I think there would have been a better foundation in my life. Sitting in that public school, boy, there were bad influences. Brother Greg was in that school back then when he wasn't saved. And no, I look back to things he does too. I look back to things and think, man. So you homeschoolers, let me say this to you tonight. I'm done. But let me say this to all you homeschoolers tonight, okay? It's a very respectful way of saying it. Look up here if you're homeschooled. Quit being a punk. Quit being a punk. Yeah, it's a protected environment, but I think you have a good social life at a church here. Quit being a punk to your mom and dad, because public schools, you get up tomorrow and go try to live like a Christian at public school. It ain't as easy as waking up at your house where Heartland Baptist College choir is singing in the background while you do your math and watch the hummingbird out the back window. Your mom could have an easier year if you'd make it an easier year for her. And your dad and mom are putting out a lot of money to try to get you homeschooled. You ought to show some gratitude for that. Mom and dad, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up on church. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your homeschooling. Yeah, we could have more and we could have this and we can do this and we could do that. But I tell you what, I believe there's a time and an order to everything in our life. And you will not get those years back. You will not get those years back with your kids. Learn from a king who was extremely wise, but he got dumb for just a little while. But when he got dumb, he planted a seed that one day led to a miserable life. Okay, so Solomon, what would your advice be? At the end of his days, when that little seed of sin had grown, he married a lot of other women. Together with that one seed, when it had grown to where his life felt empty and wasted, what's your advice, Solomon? So the end of Ecclesiastes, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. I'm just tired of church. I'm just tired of tithing. I'm just tired of always having to live right and do right and this and that and the other. Hey, listen, I want the blessings of God because the blessings of God are greater than any dollar amount could ever do for my family. The blessings of God, I'd rather have the blessings of God in poor health than to have the world and somehow have perfect health, because it's just not going to end well. The seed you sow will surely grow. So I want the Holy Spirit this week, when I'm tempted to say something or do something or whatever, and when you're out there and you're tempted to, and you think, it's just, nobody knows. I want the Spirit of God to say, a seed you're about to sow, it's going to grow. And then this week, when we're doing right, when the stars are falling from the sky, but we're still doing right, I want God to say, hey, you may not see that pumpkin patch right now, but the seeds you sow are going to grow. And you want a blessed life and a blessed family and a blessed home. You keep on doing right.